Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Good morning. My name is Melissa, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Grupo Lala's second quarter 2021 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time. If anyone should need operator assistance during the call, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. I'll now turn the call over to Mr. Daniel Espinosa, Grupo Lala's Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us to review Lala's second quarter 2021 financial and operating results. The related press release was issued after yesterday's market close and has been posted to the Investor Relations section of our website, lala.com.mx. As always, we will use presentation slides to facilitate today's discussion. These can also be found on our website, along with an updated fundamentals spreadsheet. Please move to slide 2. As a reminder, today's presentation contains projections and other forward-looking statements. Actual results could differ materially from those projected. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise publicly any forward-looking statements, whether because of new information, future events, or other factors. It is important to note these statements include expectations and assumptions, which will be shared related to the impact of COVID-19 pandemic. As stated on slide 2, our forward-looking statement also provides information on risk factors, including the impacts of COVID-19 that could affect our financial results. Please move to slide 3. On slide 3, there is an agenda for today's conference call, which will be led by Arquímedes Celis, Grupo Lala Chief Executive Officer, and Alberto Arellano, our Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Celis will begin by providing an overview of the second quarter operating environment and an update on our strategic priorities. He will then review Lala's performance in each of our 4 geographic markets and some of our strategic initiatives in each. Mr. Arellano will follow with a more detailed review of our quarterly financial results on a consolidated and regional basis. After that, we will open the call for questions. Before discussing second quarter results, I would like to make a few comments regarding the voluntary public acquisition offer recently announced. Please move to slide 4. As we announced in May, a group of Lala's majority shareholders has initiated a process for a voluntary public acquisition offer for up to all publicly owned Lala shares, which represent approximately 1/4 of the company's outstanding shares. More recently, the offeror submitted the acquisition offering for approval by the Comisión Nacional Bancaria de Valores. Following the corresponding approvals, the offering would be launched, after which time Lala's Board of Directors will have 10 business days to issue a statement on the offering price. That statement will be based on an independent fairness opinion. Lastly, on this subject, if the necessary number of shares are acquired, the group making the offer intends to request for Lala stock to be delisted from the Mexican Stock Exchange. It is worth noting that the timing of these events is subject to regulatory approvals. With that, it is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Celis.
Thank you, Daniel. Good morning and welcome everyone to our second quarter earnings call. Please turn to slide 6. The strategic priorities established in early 2020 continue to guide our progress during the second quarter 2021. We are executing and investing with discipline, with the goal of delivering sustainable and profitable long-term growth. While market conditions remain challenging with a complex inflationary environment, the strength of our brands and the breadth of our product portfolio underscore our company's meaningful competitive advantage, enabling us to prevail despite considerable operating headwinds to deliver a steady top-line growth during the second quarter 2021. Further, we identified and implemented strategies to improve our operational efficiencies across our markets, reducing LALA's cost structure and strengthening operating leverage, which will serve us well when market conditions improve and a stronger growth trajectory can be achieved. We have stabilized the profitability of our Mexico operation, while Central America's second quarter performance show sustained improvement both in terms of sales and profitability. Today, an important part of our attention and efforts are focused on our Brazil operations, where the operating environment is increasingly complex. A variety of factors have been at play, high cost inflation in particular, compounded by pressure household income. Additionally, Brazil's away from home consumption remains below pre-pandemic levels. However, it is important to note that LALA's food service revenue grew both year-over-year and sequentially within this market. We are addressing challenging conditions head on, implementing initial actions to improve Brazil's performance. The plan is primarily focused on three areas: portfolio optimization, productivity, and pricing strategy. We will touch upon this in more detail shortly within our presentation. We continue allocating capital with discipline. We have maintained a ROIC-based approach to our investment decisions and are optimizing our portfolio while building sustainable competitive advantages remains the main criteria for our product innovation at LALA. We remain focused on our 2.5x net debt to EBITDA leverage target with continued progress in this regard during the second quarter 2021. Please turn to slide seven. Despite challenging conditions across our markets and tough year-over-year comparisons, sales grew 3.7% in constant currency, driven mainly by our Mexico business. Our second quarter consolidated margin contracted 100 basis points to 9.1%, but was 9.5% when excluding one-off charges related to closing the Anápolis plant in Brazil, along with one-time corporate restructuring charges. A 10 basis point margin expansion in Mexico drove our results during the quarter, underpinned by our strategy and focus in this regard. Moving to the bottom line, we reported 160 million pesos in net income, with a corresponding margin decreasing 130 basis points to 0.8%. Excluding the aforementioned charges, net income was 262 million pesos, with a net margin of 1.3%, representing an 80 basis point decline. Working capital continued improving during the quarter, decreasing 120 basis points to -0.7% of sales, thanks to improvements in most regions. Our debt leverage also improved year-on-year, decreasing to 3x EBITDA from 3.4 times a year ago. Please turn to slide 9 for a review of our results by region. In Mexico, consistent improvements in operational efficiency enable us to mitigate cost headwinds. During the quarter, we saw growth within both the retail and traditional channels, with the latter outperforming. E-commerce sales also continue expanding. The 3.8% increase in our Mexico sales was also due to tactical price adjustments we made in light of rising raw materials costs. Our UHT milk, cream, and cold cuts categories show solid performance during the quarter, with initial recovery in our on-the-go yogurt presentation. Investing in growth, we broadened our Los Volcanes portfolio, extending the brand to encompass milk and cream. During the quarter, we relaunched our mainstream cold cuts portfolio under the La Plenia brand, supported by investments in both traditional and social media advertising to raise consumer awareness. As I noted, we further stabilized our Mexico business operationally, as the now 12% margin demonstrates. However, cost inflation remains persistent, particularly of resins, cardboard, vegetable oils, and fuel. Given these increases in our raw material costs, we are taking additional steps to improve operational efficiencies. This includes leveraging on reverse logistics to help offset our distribution cost and further reducing product waste as well as SG&A expenses. Maintaining operational excellence in Mexico remains key to sustainably driving Lala's near-term profitable growth. Finally, we further improve working capital at our Mexico operations to minus 2.1% of sales, representing a 30 basis point improvement. Please turn to slide 10. Although sales were strong in Brazil, cost headwinds have persisted and the outlook is challenging. We have therefore taken decisive steps to offset margin pressure through measures that include closing the margarine plant upon termination of a significant co-packing arrangement. That alone contributed to a 14% reduction in our Brazil sales in the second quarter. Despite this, as well as the adverse impact of decreased food service demand, which remains below pre-pandemic levels in this market, our organic sales rose nearly 22% in local currency and just over 7% on a reported basis. The sales growth followed price increases we implemented to mitigate the cost inflation. Total volume was flat in the quarter, but our creams, cheeses, and requeixão continued to perform strongly. Further, food service sales are showing initial signs of improvement year on year and on a sequential basis. As you will note on the lower right side of this slide, the cost of raw milk rose substantially during the second quarter 2021. Soybean oil and packaging are also pressuring Brazil's margin. The reported EBITDA margin fell to negative 7.4% and was negative 4.3% on an adjusted basis when excluding one-time cost of 36.6 million reais associated with the plant closure. These costs include employee severance, asset write-downs, and inventory write-offs. We are taking concrete steps under a focused strategy to reduce Brazil's cost structure and improve its operational effectiveness. These include 1, portfolio optimization, 2, productivity improvements that include a corporate restructuring, better control of product waste, and higher capacity utilization. And 3, proactively implementing price increases while maintaining our competitiveness in this market. Please turn to slide 11 for a review of our U.S. results. We maintain operational stability in the U.S., establishing a solid foundation for growth in this market. Volumes remain steady, supporting a 0.5% increase in dollar sales. Drinkable yogurt volume was stable, and we are now seeing away-from-home consumption increasing. As the U.S. gradually returns to school and work, this should result in a favorable shift in a revenue mix for this market during the remainder of the year. UHT milk and blended yogurt also drove growth during the quarter. Looking ahead, we expect growth to come from our premium Promised Land portfolio, which grew double digit during the second quarter. Of note, based on this product's continued success, we are increasing the distribution footprint for Promised Land within the U.S. The U.S. margin declined 60 basis points year over year. However, it expanded 140 basis points sequentially. Profitability was impacted by high materials and distribution costs and a labor shortage currently prevalent within the U.S. market. That said, we continue lowering expenses to head off the global inflation that is also adversely impacting the U.S. market. Working capital was also another area of noteworthy success at our U.S. business, thanks to improved inventory management. Please turn to slide 12. Central America performance shows sustained improvements, excluding Costa Rica, which was a component of our performance results this time last year. Volume increased 6%, with sales rising nearly 10%. The performance of our milk and yogurt categories was strong during the second quarter 2021, with growth in profitable SKUs and continued recovery in ice cream. Successful execution of our price strategy is helping offset raw materials cost increases within this market as well. Coupled with improved operating efficiencies and sales growth, these help drive profitability, with Central America's margin expanding 320 basis points to 6.5%, again when adjusting for Costa Rica. Better control of sales and distribution costs also aided EBITDA. As we expand point of sale coverage and execute our strategy to increase drop size per traditional outlet with a wider portfolio, we expect profitability to improve further. Another contributor will be portfolio optimization, and local capacity utilization. Looking ahead, we believe the many improvements we have been making in Central America have set the stage for growth that's sustainable as well as profitable. It's relevant to note that Central America also helped improve LALA's working capital during the quarter. Let me now turn the call over to Alberto, who will review key financial highlights for the second quarter. Beto, please go ahead.
Thank you, Archimedes, and good day, everyone. Consolidated net revenue increased 3.7% year-on-year on a constant currency basis. The growth was led by Mexico, where sales rose 3.8% and 7.1% from Brazil. Central American sales increased 9.9% on an adjusted basis, taking Costa Rica out of the basis of last year, demonstrated management ability to improve operations, redefining portfolio, expanding gross margin, and applying some of our best practices from Mexico. As you know, last year's sales were unusually elevated due to pantry loading buying in each one of those markets. So the year-over-year growth needs to be considered in that context. Please move to slide 15, where we will talk about our profitability by region. Top-line growth and the operational discipline that Archimedes discussed both supported margin stability in Mexico, Central America, and the U.S., and did so in the face of significantly rising costs in each one of those markets. Additionally, when excluding the one-time charges associated with the plant closure in Brazil, our EBITDA margin was 40 basis points higher at 9.5%. Please turn to slide 16. During the quarter, we maintained positive earnings, despite the substantial cost pressures. On a normalized basis, operating income was 958 million pesos, a 22% decrease in still challenging and complex operating environments. Noticeably, we benefit from lower financing costs on reduced debt and lower interest rates, which also contributed to the quarter's positive earnings. With regards to higher taxes in the quarter, this was mainly driven by the incorporation of the annual inflation adjustment applied to our outstanding debt. As Archimedes noted, net income decreased less on an adjusted basis, down 37%, with a corresponding margin compression of 80 basis points. Please turn to slide 17. We continue to maintain a healthy debt profile in terms of denomination, rate mix, and duration. Also, our current maturity profile is well aligned with the capacity of the company to generate cash flow in the future. Please turn to slide 18. As we have shared before, we remain committed to our target debt ratio of 2.5 times. Given the gradual expansion of our profitability and the discipline in capital allocation, we believe we will achieve this level of leverage in a period of 15 to 18 months. Our net debt reduced both versus last year and on a sequential fashion. Turning to capital efficiency on slide 19, Mexico has led the way regarding working capital management, but we continue delivering improvements in every operation abroad, helping us maintaining negative working capital for the fourth consecutive quarter on a consolidated basis. Please turn to slide 20. We have emphasized that our capital allocation is conducted with greater discipline than in the past. This is reflected in the graph on this slide. As you can see, CapEx to sales was 2.4% in the first half of the year. Again, we only invest in projects where we expect to gain sustainable competitive advantages and an adequate return on capital. Now, back to Arquímedes for some closing remarks. Arquímedes, please go ahead.
Thank you, Beto. Please turn to slide 21. In closing, we have kept sight of our strategic priorities, remaining focused on our core markets, and maintaining financial discipline, with the aim of driving growth both profitably and sustainably. Lala's strong brands and broad product portfolio, which includes defensive categories, will continue providing stability in challenging operating environments. Further, we still expect dairy demand to remain robust as an affordable source of nutrition. Beyond Mexico, operational improvements have been achieved in the U.S. and Central America, and we have recently turned more of our attention to Brazil. There, we are executing a focused strategy, taking decisive steps to improve operational effectiveness in the face of complex circumstances. And lastly, we continue prudently investing capital with a ROIC focus and effectively managing working capital. Thank you for your attention. We will now open the call for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we'll be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Our first question comes from the line of Ben Theurer with Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Perfect. Thank you very much, and good morning, Arquímedes, Beto. Two quick ones. So first, on the voluntary offer, could you share some initial feedback you've been getting from shareholders and the level of acceptance just around the pricing level, which in comparison to what the IPO price back a couple of years ago was, definitely is a steep discount to that. So the question really is how have you received shareholders in regards to that offer? That would be my first question, and I have an operational one as well.
Yeah. Hi, Ben. This is Beto. Thanks for your question. Well, the first thing just to clarify is that it is really not is not for us to judge how the voluntary public acquisition offer is really going. It's this, as you know, it's a group of Lara shareholders which announced their intention to acquire the outstanding publicly traded shares. Now, what we know is that the price they offer, it's around about 20% up or 20% premium versus the 30 days trailing prior to the announcement. So that's what, you know, that's what we know. That's what we can share. The other thing that is, let's say, currently now being pretty much in waiting mode is for the authorities to authorize or not the BPAO. So it's upon regulatory approval at this point in time, and that's pretty much what we can say, Ben.
Beto, let me add that this process is being managed by the offering group and their legal representatives. As you know, the filing continues to be under review by the National Banking and Securities Commission. And of course, Grupo Lara will communicate to the investment public the relevant information as it arises.
Ben, you said you have another question?
I'm sorry, his line seems to be not responding. Our next question comes from the line of Antonio Hernandez with Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. My question is regarding the overall product mix and if you've seen any shift towards the pre-pandemic sales mix, not only in the U.S., in the U.S., of course, you've mentioned throughout the last couple of quarters that it's been perhaps the most impacted by the new consumption habits, but overall, are you seeing any recovery in those sales mix as consumers are eating away from home a little bit more than previous quarters? And are you seeing similar shift on product mix in other regions? Thanks.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. I couldn't hear the question. Can you repeat it, please?
Sure. Well, actually, two questions. The first one is on product mix. Are you seeing any recovery in product mix in the different types of products you're selling in the U.S., in other regions? Any type of shift on consumption habits from the consumers, you know, shifting away from eating at their homes throughout the last couple of quarters and more eating out of their homes? Are you seeing any shift from that? And then I have a follow-up.
Okay. Well, in that respect, I can tell you that what we have been seeing is that given the economic outlook and the ongoing effects of the pandemic, we think that the consumption will remain as it has been doing in the past months. Of course, in Brazil, we expect a very volatile demand in the food service channel because the effects of the pandemic varies from region to region. For example, in Mexico, I think that we will see the same consumption pattern for the next months because we are still in the middle of the pandemic. In fact, recently we have another increase. Brazil, it's not in good shape. Maybe the U.S. is the market where situation is becoming more to normal, and that's why we are seeing some recovery in the away from home consumption products. So basically, having in mind the mix of our sales in the different regions where we operate, I wouldn't expect a dramatic change in the mix of sales of products.
Okay, perfect. And then I have a follow-up. This question regarding Mexico. I mean, as results continue favorable in the country, what is your strategy around innovation, pricing strategy, and so on to further boost results and offset weakness in other markets?
Yeah. After we stabilized the operation in Mexico with the focus that and the actions that we implemented last year, this year, Lala Mexico is prepared to launch different innovations, and we have been working on segments like cold cuts. We launched the Lala Plenia, which is bringing volume to our existing portfolio, and we see a great potential in that market because you know that market is very large in Mexico. We are just starting with this relaunching of Lala. And also in Mexico, we launched innovation with our Los Volcanes brand. This brand has been participating only in cheese in the central area of Mexico, and we expand the product portfolio by adding milk and cream. And also we did an upgrading in the cheese category with a reusable package. And besides that, we are taking that brand to other regions of Mexico where we haven't been present previously. And those are the main innovations that we launched last quarter in Mexico. And of course, having our processes now under control, we are prepared to continue doing this kind of innovations in the coming months and years.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Alvaro Garcia with BTG Pactual. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for the call. I have two questions. So one is sort of kind of piggybacking on the last question on the Mexican consumer. You know, as you look to pass price, given the sort of surreal input price environment we're living in, you know, in the second half of this year and beginning of next year, you know, how you feel the Mexican consumer is doing in terms of purchasing power. So that's kind of a question regarding pricing in Mexico and the Mexican consumer more generally. Thank you.
Yes, we all know about this global situation in terms of the food inflation. And given that, and knowing that economic the purchasing power of the consumer, generally speaking, in Latin America, is being affected in an important manner by the pandemic. We have been focused in first trying to improve our efficiencies and our productivity to mitigate the inflation. But of course, with that, we can mitigate it, but not offset completely inflation in our costs. So we are also increasing our prices in order to maintain our profitability, but also having in mind our competitiveness in the market. In addition to that, we have been adapting our value proposition in different products to respond to this, let's say, limited purchasing power of our consumers in Latin America.
Great. And just maybe a mini follow-up just on the input prices themselves. I don't know if you can maybe give any color as to where you're feeling more of the pinch as you start looking into 2022. Thank you very much.
Yes, Alvaro. It's, if you want, I can take that one. Alvaro, we've seen, you know, cost pressure pretty much in three elements of our P&L. One is certainly a hike in everything that has to do with packaging, and here you were talking about cardboard increase, resins increase, and so on. The second element is really energy driven. So we've seen an increase in the gas molecule, we've seen an increase in the oil price, you know, 50% versus last year, and so on. And then thirdly, it's really milk, which has to do more with the prices related to the feed cost and how, you know, the price of corn, the price of cotton seeds, and so on has been performing. So there's an element of certain of them being commodities and really not being able to control that price. And then there's another element that we can certainly control, and it comes to what we can do internally. And that's a little bit of what we're doing in terms of portfolio optimization, you know, the simplification of our operations, focusing on driving those SKU that have a bigger margin on contribution, and so on, and some of the productivity that Archimedes was mentioning. Now, that's a little bit of Mexico. So those that are driven from a commodity-related price increase, well, we will certainly we want to tamper them via the productivity and so on, and if we cannot do it, we go via pricing. In the case of Brazil, the situation is a little bit more complex. In Brazil, we not only have, let's say, the global inflation on commodities, but we also have a tremendous milk cost pressure. Just to give you a flavor, Q2 versus Q2 of last year, it's 48% increase, cost of milk, cost of liter of milk. No, price of milk in Brazil nowadays, it's around about 2.2 reals per liter. So in that context, even when we have increased 22% of prices, we have not been able to generate enough margin to compensate for the impact. So that's, and that would take certainly more time. In the case of Mexico, and Mexico, Central America, and the U.S., it's more the first thing which I mentioned.
That's super helpful. Thank you very much. All the best.
Gracias, Salvador.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Felipe Ucros with Scotiabank. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, good morning, Beto and Archimedes. Thanks for the space for questions. Maybe a quick one on the mix in Brazil first. That just came up as a follow-up to what Alvaro asked. But are you seeing any improvement on the mix given that UHT had experienced such a precipitous rise at the beginning of the pandemic? Is that coming down now, and is that helping the mix? And then maybe I'll do a second one around the strategy for Brazil.
Yes, let
Hola,
me
Felipe.
Let me tell you.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you that as you know, last year our sales mix was composed of food service, a co-packing sales of margarine by a co-packing contract that we had, and finally cheese and yogurt. Those are the four components of our sales last year. As you know, this year the co-packing contract finished, so we have food service, we have yogurt, we have cheese. As the components of the main components of our sales, and of course we know the effects of the pandemic in the food service channel. We are even with the effect of the pandemic, we are growing there, and we are restructuring our portfolio of products, and we are focusing on the ones that generates a better profitability. In fact, in the case of yogurt, this year we are implementing a good segmentation, and we will invest in the development of a premium and value-added yogurt. And of course, cheese is a profitable segment of our sales there. So by saying that is that you mentioned UHT milk, and I would say that knowing that this is almost a commodity product in the Brazilian market, because you know in Mexico milk a large portion of sales is branded, and it's the brands are very well recognized, and the consumer is willing to pay a good price for it, and it's a very profitable category. In Brazil, it's different. The product is, as I said, it's a commodity. So we do not intend to grow in UHT. We will concentrate more in cheese, queso, cream, value-added yogurt, and of course, we will wait for the recovery of the food service channel in order to be able to improve our results there. that's on the sales area. But on the other hand, we are restructuring the company in different areas, and also we launched a very good program to improve productivity in the manufacturing and the logistics activities in Brazil.
Thanks for the color, Artemis. And maybe my follow-up one was on the strategy for Brazil. And obviously, sourcing milk has been a source of headaches since the acquisition, right? The way milk is sourced is different in Brazil than the very privileged position you have in Mexico. Is there any plan to change that in the long term, or think of some kind of vertical integration in Brazil of some kind?
No, we are not seeing a vertical integration in Brazil. What we are analyzing, of course, is the formulation of the different products, with not only with, let's say, the fresh milk that we can acquire in Brazil, but also powder milk that sometimes is, the price is more stable versus raw milk. So we are working on one hand on the procurement of different suppliers for raw milk and for fresh milk, and at the same time we are working on reformulating some of our products, putting some powder milk in them. Of course, quality is an important issue to take care of in these reformulations.
Makes sense. Understood. Thanks for the color, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ulises Argote with JP Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hola, Arquímedes, Beto, Daniel. Thanks for the space of questions here. So a couple of quick ones on my side, I think mostly on the same topic that you've covered on the previous questions. But first, maybe you can comment a little bit on the volume outlook in Mexico, given the recent price increases, how you're seeing that part of the consumer demand shaping up a little bit. Also, if you're seeing like any down or up trading among the categories, particularly in the retail channel, and if you can give us any kind of more specific guidance on where you see the margins, particularly in Mexico for the second half of the year. And the second one, I think just a quick one there on Brazil as well. Now with the operating adjustments and everything that is happening there, where do you think a reasonable level for us to be thinking on the margins there in those operations would be, kind of in the short and midterm? Thank you.
Hello, Ulises. Thanks for the question. Let me start by the Mexican outlook in terms of volume and so on. As Arquímedes said, we have been increasing prices in line with what we believe can be absorbed by the current economic turmoil, and also obviously being very, very careful on what we do vis-a-vis the competition and so on, because we want to make sure that there are not gaps in our pricing strategy. And so on that front, we have seen some contraction in volume versus last year. Specifically, I would say in the month where we have increased prices, but more or less, we do not see a market which is as impacted as we thought at the beginning of the pandemic. So we are seeing a flattish environment, and pretty much most of the sales growth is coming from mix and pricing. So that, and this is pretty much what we believe is gonna happen for the rest of the year. Again, depending on the category, depending on the channel, but that's more or less of what we are looking for, and here in that context, maintaining our market share for us is obviously a priority. So that's for the volume. In terms of upgrading in categories, we have not seen, I would say, an a dramatic improvement on mix. So we're not expecting that. We're certainly offering some of our innovations, especially as Archimedes was mentioning. When you think about what we're doing with Volcanes, this is certainly on a high-end part of the spectrum. When you think about what we're doing in Plenty as well, we are reconfiguring completely our portfolio, trying to get some tailwind in terms of mix as well. So some of that upgrading that you're mentioning, we believe can come from what we're doing in terms of innovation. Now, when it comes to your question on margins in Mexico, we are, as you know, around about at 12%. We know we have been higher than that, but at the current environmental, I would say, economic environment, I think that we will not be that far away of the margin that we're today for the remaining of the year. Right? It has been a difficult 18 months, and it will still be, from the commodity standpoint, from the input point of view, input cost inflation point of view. So we're not necessarily banking on increasing our margin in the short term. And lastly, on the outlook of Brazil, yes, it has been hard for us to not only improve but even maintain that low single-digit margin that we had last year. For now, our focus is on being able to serve the pandemic, being able to serve the input cost inflation, which is high double digit in that country, with the three P's. Our strategy of, first of all, portfolio optimization, second P, productivity projects being driven, and third, pricing action. So that's kind of where we see now the key strategies going forward, and it's kind of difficult now to share with you a margin target on that country. We're more on short-term focus recovery of our margin.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for the call, Roberto.
My pleasure, Ulises.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Hector Maya with Santander. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you. Thank you very much for taking my question. Just want to know if you could confirm what's the percentage of shares that need to be acquired in the offering for that to be listed. I don't know, would it be 90% of the shares? And if such number is not reached, would the company continue trading normally after that, or do you think that there would be another offer? Thank you.
Yes, Collector. We have as share there, it's round about 1/4 of the company. So between, 22 to 24% of the company which needs to be acquired. This is what the control group shareholder has announced. And the reality is that if the voluntary public acquisition offer is successful and the needed shares are acquired, then yes, the offerors intend to request the cancellation of the security listing. At this point in time, I wouldn't speculate on any other scenario rather than what they have shared.
From the floating shares, how much that would be needed to proceed with their listing?
Listen, the Comisión Nacional Bancaria de Valores has a couple of parameters. One is percentage of share, and the other one is has to do more with how the overall market is looking at the voluntary public acquisition offer. So, for now, our understanding is that they want to go and acquire the majority of the outstanding. But there's not a specific number that I can share with you on that front.
Got it. No problem. Thank you very much.
Sure, Hector.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to join the question queue, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Luis Willard with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Also on the tender, have you received any indication from majority shareholders regarding timing of the offer? I know it's already being reviewed by the commission, but they mentioned when they expect the commission to issue the approval. And maybe a follow-up on the same topic is, assuming it continues to go for the next, I don't know, let's say 3 or 4 months on the whole process, is it fair to assume that the dividends that are still to be paid in August and November will be paid? Thank you.
Sure, Luis. Hi. Listen, in terms of timing, the reality is that we don't know, and the group of large shareholders that announced this, they don't know as well. They file, for the necessary approvals with the CNBV on June the 14th, and it's really up to the regulatory commission to express themselves. Following that, assuming that this is approved, then the board of LALA will issue a statement on the offer price within the 10 next business days on an independent fairness opinion, and it's really it all depends on the timing when the CNBV will approve or not. So I cannot give you more information on that because we don't know. As to your second question, we foresee no impact whatsoever on the dividend policy. If for whatever reason the approval it's delayed, there's not a correlation on one and the other. So we are continue to honor what we have shared in terms of dividend policy and the cash flow is there as well to fund it.
Excellent, Roberto. Thank you.
Surely.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our question and answer session. I'll turn the floor back to management for any final comments. Management, would you like to make any final closing remarks?
Thank you, operator. No, that concludes today's conf call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.